Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 172, the four stanzas. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee. There we will pay our vow. O thou, the God that hearest prayer, before thee all shall bow. And what follows? Psalter 172, the four stanzas. read a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 5, the verses 33 through 48. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 33. Again ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you, ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, oh, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then indeed thy mercy and thy long suffering is great over us and our children. We may still be in the precious day of grace. Thou hast given unto us another Lord's day. And then in this evening hour, then for the third time, the doors of thy house have been opened, and a part of the congregation permitted to enter those doors. May there have been those that have entered those doors, that it was with a prayer, with a sigh, oh, that it was with a true need, that there have come beggars up, empty vessels. And then we read in thy holy word concerning that widow, that thou hast commanded when all those empty vessels were brought in, that the doors were shut and the oil has begun to flow. And when the vessels were all full, then the oil has ceased to flow. And now, Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one, each boy and girl, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, have come up to thy house. Ah, may there have been a few empty vessels that may have entered the church door. And, ah, Lord, when there are those empty vessels, those poor and needy ones, ah, those that have begged of thee for a crumb from the master's table, people that has learned that they have sinned it all away, undeserved, forfeited, and yet a people that cannot miss thee. Ah, those are vessels, Lord, where thou may fill them. Ah, do it in this evening hour. It is written in thy word, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then thou was promised concerning thy house, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And now, Lord, it is also thy work that those full vessels, that they may be emptied, that is the work of thy Holy Spirit. And then the vessels, they can be so full of the world, worldly things, even on the Sabbath day when it is so. May there be a grief in the heart and a prayer unto thee to ask that they may disappear in thy house, that room may be made for thy holy word. The vessels that are full of self and of self-righteousness, our Lord, they need to be emptied. We humbly ask thee that it may please thee by thy free and sovereign grace, that thou may make many a vessel, little vessels, larger vessels, that thou may form them, place them on the wheel of free and sovereign grace, and that they may become vessels that may reflect thy image and thy honor, ah, Lord. May it please thee to grant a token of thy favor. And what greater token could thou give, that when full vessels were emptied, and when empty vessels may be filled with thyself and with the work of thy dear Son, then thy name shall be honored and glorified. Oh, do visit us in this evening to answer our feeble supplications. Thou hast taught thy church to pray thy kingdom come. We live in very dark and serious times, but the King is still gathering the church. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour. Wilt thou so remember young and old, then by renewal, then we commend the confession of faith class unto thee, where they have made an oath. Ah, may there be those that may have been busy with that oath, also in the furtherance of the day, where they have bowed their knees, and where they have humbly asked thee, that thou may remember, that thou may help, oh, to receive that one thing needful, to become a living member of that living church, of that living King with the living faith. Wilt thou watch over them? Wilt thou remember from the youngest to the oldest? May it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember, help, encourage the consistory with all the labors who are sufficient unto these things? May our eyes be upon the great office bearer, and to need him as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Wilt thou bless the labors in the midst of the homes? Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? May it be with an eye upon thee who is sufficient unto these things. May it be accompanied by unceasing prayer. Then we commend unto thee our Christian school, then thou was granted in the past week, that the school year may commence again. It is true, different circumstances, nevertheless, when it may still commence, give a heart to acknowledge thee. Therefore, we commend unto thee the school board with a radiant, responsible task. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies from day to day, to and fro? Oh, do watch over all those that travel mile after mile. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger? Wilt thou help and remember the administration? Remember all the teachers, with those that stand at their side in their weighty and responsible task. And may it also be made a joyful task. Then we commend all the students unto thee. Wilt thou help them? May they be given to ask of thee for thy help, where thou hast said in thy holy word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of me above all things, Lord, when thy holy word may be opened day after day. Make it a blessing for young and old. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou remember our theological school, where in the past week that the lessons have resumed, also under different circumstances? Wilt thou remember instructors and students? May they be given to taste of the things that they may handle and that they may learn. Remember the student that may speak an edifying word. May the number of thy servants be increased. We commend unto thee the suffering church, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team, a wealth of grand and rich blessing upon thy holy word. Remember those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. We remember the nations of the earth. Under these difficult times, wilt thou also remember our nation with all those in high authority. Wilt thou grant them wisdom and understanding, and then we may humbly beg of thee that the time may soon arrive when the congregations may all come up to thy house. Lord, we are a country that has departed so far from thee, and impress it upon all our hearts that it is written in thy holy word that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Do grant that repentance unto us and our children. Then we commend the many temporal needs unto thee. Provide for our daily bread, O Lord. Do uphold and remember the mourning ones with their deep sorrow and grief. May the callings be sanctified. We commend all our elderly unto thee in our care home, with those that may care for them, those that may live at home. Wilt thou remember them for body and for soul, the sick and afflicted ones, oh, do remember them. Wilt thou grant unto the young son and his family, oh, truly a broken and a humble heart, for thy wonders. May it work something out for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. We remember the family circles. May love abound between husband and wife, parents and children. A word is difference, grant yet a returning, and what is separated, may it please thee to bring it together. And then we remember two young couples. The one in this week is planned, and the other for the week to follow, where they hope to be united in holy matrimony. Oh, may they be given to beg of thee, that thou may go with them, and that it may be marriages for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. And now, Lord, when by renewal we are called to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai, and what thou hast to say unto us and our children, then we humbly ask of thee for thy help. Ah, thou knowest how dependent we are thee. May it please thee to grant Aaron's and hers. And wilt thou remember the listeners? Oh, may it please thee to open the ears, to enlighten the understanding, and that our hearts may be given to perceive. Wilt thou remember all those that may come to thy house, and all those in their dwelling that may listen along? May it please thee to add thy divine blessing, and that with an impression that we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but, O Lord, may we be given to plead upon thy mercy, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 57, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundation has laid, and firm on the waters, its pillars have stayed, and what follows. Psalter 57, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37, the question and answers 101 and 102. Question 101, may we then swear religiously by the name of God? Answer, yes. Either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. Question 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? Answer, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Lord's Day number 37 speaks of the swearing of an oath, with four thoughts. In the first place, the description of the oath. In the second place, the need for the oath. In the third place, the scripturalness of the oath. And in the fourth place, the seriousness of the oath. The swearing of an oath. The description, the need, the scripturalness, and the seriousness of the oath. Beloved congregation, then in this evening by renewal, then we are called upon to sit, to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. We have already, out of our Heidelberg Catechism, with an explanation of the holy law of God, then we have heard much. Then we have heard the first, the second, the third commandment, where the mighty creator and upholder of the heavens and of the earth, that he declares, thou shalt not. And with all of those commandments, then each and every one has to confess that we have. And may I now ask you, how do we now live with the proclamation of the law that is read unto us every Lord's Day morning? And how do we now live with the transgression of the commandments of God? Maybe then there are those that think, but I cannot do anything about it. I have learned that I am conceived and born in sin, that I am a transgressor from the womb, that I am guilty. I cannot do anything about it. But congregation, young and old, do we now remember that we are not finished with our sin, and that we shall have to give an account. And shall that answer, shall that now be sufficient before the judge when he comes on the clouds of heaven? Then our mouth shall be stopped. Maybe another one says, but I cannot convert myself. May then ask you, congregation, have you tried it? Maybe another one thinks to himself, but at least I am not as bad as many people in the world that do not even go to church. Maybe today have desecrated the Lord's Day greatly. But is that a solution? Shall that be an answer that suffices for the judge? Because it is such a personal matter, what is then necessary? That by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we become the sinner, and that we are given to fall and to bow. Oh, that we acknowledge that the Lord is just, if he would no longer give us a place upon the earth and in his house, that the Lord is so righteous because of our transgressions, that we have deserved one place, and that is the bottom of hell. But oh, young and old, the Lord has given unto us his precious word. And in that word it is written that we are called upon to seek, that we are called upon to repent. And to that end, may the prayers for the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, may they be multiplied in the context of the Heidelberg Catechism, than it is in the part of gratitude. And for a child of God, when that tender fear of God is not present, when it is not an exercise, then how many excuses there can be. Then a child of God also, at the foot of Mount Sinai, then he can try to excuse himself, because sanctification, we have learned it from our youth, from Reverend Hellenbrook, according to God's word, that it is not perfect. And in the Bible, what an examples we have of saints, where it was not all so well, but people of God, are such thoughts, are they now to the glory of God and to the glory of that precious Savior? When we consider the Israelites, when they have been at Mount Sinai, then we read that they have greatly trembled in impression of the majesty of God. And before the Lord has spoken that law, then in Exodus 19 verse 8, then they have said to Moses, all that the Lord commands us, we shall do. And they have repeated the same after they have heard the law in Exodus 24 with that altar, when that covenant was made, when the blood was sprinkled. Then they have repeated the same words. And what did that people now have to learn? That with their vows and with their promises, that they could not keep one of those commandments. Oh, in that way, then the necessity, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this evening hour, in a further explanation of the third commandment, then we are called upon to speak of the oath. And that is all. There's also a reason why the instructors have spoken of a religious oath and to questions and answers. And that was against the Anabaptists. And who were they? Oh, it is true. Among that people, the Lord had a remnant that truly feared the Lord. And nevertheless, they have veered off from the truth. And also in the time of the Reformation, then the Reformers, then there was a battle to defend the truth against them. And now the Anabaptists, then they stressed the spiritual, oh, that is good. Then they emphasized the work of the Holy Spirit. But the trouble was with those Anabaptists, that it seemed many times, or at least that was the result, that they have separated the work of the Holy Spirit from His holy word. And it is clear in the Bible that the Lord worketh by word and by spirit. And then they have placed the work of the Holy Spirit separate or above the holy word of God. And then there were many that have spoken of that inner light of revelation separated from the word of God. And then we may fear, be afraid, when they have used those words, when they have spoken in such a way that it was not the work of the Holy Spirit, but that it was their own light. Then it was a group of people that have separated themselves, that had no part in the government. They refused to fight in the army because they have said, we are soldiers of another army, of the army of Jesus Christ. But then the Anabaptists, and then of course we know, because they have stressed that inner light, then they have also become opponents against infant baptism. But then they have also refused to swear an oath. And to that end, our instructors, they thought it was necessary and profitable for the church that they would speak more broadly of a religious oath. And when it is asked, may we then swear religiously by the name of God? Then we must not understand that question, that an oath is not religious, because all oaths, true oaths, they are all religious, they are in the name of God. But then it's meant to swear in a God-fearing manner. And now the description of the oath that the instructors have answered in answer 102, a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart. Thus then an oath that is calling upon God and that is glorifying Him in all His attributes. It is true, the instructors, they emphasize the omniscience of the Lord, that the Lord knoweth all things, that the Lord knoweth our hearts and the secrets within, that there is nothing hidden for the Lord. But then with an oath, then God is also glorified in His truth, wherein the word of God it is written, that the Lord shall remember those that speak the truth, but those that tell a lie, that the Lord shall visit them with His punishments. then it is a glorifying of God in his justice, that in his righteousness, that he shall deal with mankind also with the oaths which they swear. Thus, when we consider an oath, that is actually a confession of the God whom we worship and whom we serve. And to that end, an atheist, they shall never swear a religious oath. And we live in very sad times in former days. Then, as a general rule, then nearly all people, when it was required, they would swear a religious oath. But now, alas, we live in days when there are so many that do not even believe in God, and at least not in the God of the Scriptures. Thus, with the swearing of an oath, then we place ourselves in a special way in the immediate presence of the Lord, calling upon the Lord to witness our words, what we promise, and that he shall bless us when we may keep that oath, when we may speak the truth, and that he shall punish us when it is different. Thus an oath, that is God glorifying. Therefore we are given to confess that he is the God that sitteth in the heavens, and that he beholdeth all the works and the hearts of men. When we speak of an oath, then we may make a separation, although they are very closely related. A difference between an oath and a vow. With an oath, then it is a calling upon God to witness it. And then maybe one says, but in the oath in the midst of the church, then I have only answered yes. But when we remember and think where that oath has been made, in the house of God, where according to this word, that the Lord is present in a special way, and when we come up to God's house to pray and to worship him, then those answers, they are made in the special and immediate presence of the Lord. Then we appeal to the Lord that he sees all things. But concerning a vow, that is not necessary appeal to the Lord, but a vow can be made on account of a deep impression of the Lord's goodness, that we vow that he shall be honored and worshiped. Think of the vow which Jacob has made in Bethel. Think of that precious vow that a hen has made when she has prayed for a child, when it would be a man child, it would be one for the Lord. It can also be a vow and a help to keep us from sin and from temptation. Then concerning the manner that vows are made can depend on the culture, on the time. We read in Genesis 24, when Eliezer, that he made a, when he was given to make a vow to Abram concerning fetching a wife for Isaac, that he put his right hand under the thigh of Abram. In our day, then it is many times with the Bible, with the raising of the right hand, when an oath is made. It is said of President Donald Trump, when he was installed in his office at the beginning of January 2017, that he had two Bibles before him. The Bible which his mother has given unto him, and the Bible of Abraham Lincoln. The second thought, the need for the oath. In paradise, there was not a need for the oath, because the Lord has created Adam and Eve in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. There was no untruth with them, and therefore no need for the oath. But after our deep fallen Adam, then there is so much untruth, so many lies. We have become followers of the devil. He is called the liar from the beginning. And now the Anabaptist and others who say that we may not swear an oath, they also have their biblical texts. They shall refer us to Matthew 5, the portion we have read together, some of those verses, and also in James, where Christ has said, in Matthew 5, verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Thus then we would say, they have a text to prove their point. But then we must always read Scripture in the context. And now among the Jewish people, they had a great reverence for the name of the Lord Jehovah. They would not speak that name. There's something to commend them for, not to mention the name, but their respect for the Lord. And then it is clear we have heard it. Then many Jewish people, they swore by the temple or by the gold of the temple or by other things. And then many times we read that also in Matthew 23, that they have broken their oath so quickly. Thus, in the context of Matthew 5, then Jesus is declaring that we may not swear lightly, rashly, or unnecessarily, that our communication, that it must be yes, that it must be no, that in daily life, then it is not necessary, it is even an abusing of the use of an oath, when we want to confirm that what we are saying in daily life, that we have to use an oath. That is now the context of Matthew 5. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Yes, either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us therefore to confirm fidelity and truth. Thus then the instructors, they mention two different circumstances, and it is true those circumstances can be broadened out, but two different circumstances when an oath is required and when it may and must be made. And that in the first place, when magistrates demand it of the subjects, and that can be for an occupation, doctors, our leaders, that they are given to swear an oath that they shall be faithful with the help of God in the place which has been appointed unto them, also office bearers in the midst of the church. Think of the many oaths that are made in the midst of the congregation. We have heard it, we have seen it. in this morning hour with a confession of faith. Think of the baptism of our children, marriage, the installation of office bearers, when magistrates demand it, when it is required, that we promise that we shall be faithful, that we shall be loyal, and that all with the help of the Lord. And further, or when necessity requires us therefore to confirm fidelity and truth. And think of the courts, when a case is brought before the judge, then those that are accused, witnesses, then they are called to swear an oath that they shall speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Thus, what a weighty matter that the oath is. And then we call God to witness as one that knoweth the heart. And then our instructors have added the purpose, the glory of God, and the safety, the well-being of our neighbor. And now concerning the swearing of oaths, then we have many examples. The instructors always point us back to the Word of God, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. That is our third thought, but let us first sing. 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. 435, 1, 2, and 4. the swearing of an oath, the description of the oath, the need for the oath, and now thirdly, the scripturalness of the oath. When we consider the Old Testament, then we also read of many oaths between the church and between a heathen people. And then it is written in the Bible, then we read each time by renewal, then when a heathen people that have departed from the true worship of God, but what a value that an oath had for them. Then we read each time, many times in the scriptures, when a heathen people, when they would receive an oath from the church, then that made a great impression. Then it seemed that a heathen people would not imagine when one would swear by their God that they would not tell the truth and that they would not be faithful. Then already in the book of Genesis, we read of different oaths. Abram with Abimelech in Genesis 21, concerning lands and wells. Isaac and Abimelech in Genesis 26. We have already mentioned Eliezer in Genesis 24, that he has made an oath to Abram that he would not retrieve a heathen girl for a son Isaac. In Genesis, at the end of Genesis, in Genesis 50, then both Jacob and Joseph, they have required an oath from their children concerning their burial. In Joshua 2, then also Rahab have asked an oath of the spies that when the city would be conquered, that they may be remembered. In Joshua 9, concerning the Gibeonites, do we not read an oath that Ruth has made? Oh, in that precious choice, because then we read further in that choice, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if she would not keep that choice. Then further, King Asa, in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 15, then he has asked the children of Israel to make an oath that they would worship the Lord alone. Job, in Job 16, verse 19, then he has declared to those three friends, my witness is in heaven, and behold, my witness is in heaven. And then we read, oh, the Lord has also made oaths, already from that never-begun eternity. But we shall read that oath in Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. For how many a child of God has the Lord used that rainbow to encourage and to instruct them that they may continue on their way. And then there shall be one that says now, but with so many examples, and there are more, with so many examples in the scriptures, how can there now be a people that say that it is not proper to swear a religious oath? Then the Anabaptists, then they make a great separation between the Old and the New Testament. Then they shall try to tell us that in the New Testament that the Lord works differently in His church than in the Old Testament. But the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And oh, what an examples we have in the New Testament, because the instructors say, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. How often that Jesus, that He has spoken those words, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, that was a form of an oath. Oh, then He has made an oath to that thief that was hanging on the cross. Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And then Jesus has said, verily, verily, thus that is a form of an oath, verily, verily, today Thou shalt be with me in paradise. We read of Paul that he has written to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet to Corinth. And in Romans 1, verse 9, God is my witness, this then congregation, then it is very clear that to swear a religious oath, that is according to God's word. And now our forethought, the seriousness of the oath. And may that be bound more and more upon all our hearts. When we consider the oaths that we have made in the house of God, when we think back, congregation, how have we made those oaths? And how do we live with our oath? Because they are recorded in the heavens, and we shall have to give an account. When in the midst of the church, I'm not talking of the world, we have heard in the last Lord's Day that great sin of perjury, when false oaths are sworn, think in the courts, how many people there have been that have spent a life in prison when they were not guilty, but because of false oaths that have been sworn, that have spent their life in prison, even those that have received the death penalty because of false oaths that have been sworn in the courts. Thus, what a solemn thing it is to swear a false oath. But how is it now in the church? The solemnist has stated in Psalm 78, the verses 36 and 37, of the children of Israel, nevertheless, they did flatter them with their mouth and lied unto him. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth and lied unto him with their tongue, for their heart is not right with them, neither were they steadfast in the covenant. When religious oaths are made very easily, very lightly, and even falsely in the midst of the church when we give our answer yes, and when it is even evident in our life that these things do not weigh so heavy upon our hearts, then surely then the church is in a very low state. Thus, the solemnity of the oath, when we are given to appeal to God, that He seeth all things, that He looketh in our heart, also how we give our yes, oh, then how needful with our oath, that they are made prayerfully, and not trusting in our own strength, but given to beg the Lord for His help. Thus, oaths may not be made unnecessarily, not falsely, not lightly, and not irreverently. Then concerning, then the question could be, but what about when an oath is made, when it is not proper, and when it is not right, when we have swore rashly, and we have the example even of David, the man after God's heart, when he was informed that Nabal and his servants, that they would not provide provision, while David, as being as it was a wall round about Nabal and his servants, then David has sworn very rashly, and then he has stated that all the household of Nabal would be slain. Then it was the Lord's goodness that he was prevented. Then we can understand when we have swore wrongly. Think of Herod, when he has swore that his daughter may ask what she desired, and she has asked for the head of John the Baptist, then we can all understand that it is then necessary that such a one may come on their knees and to confess that they have swore very rashly, very unnecessary, even wickedly. Think of Luther and the Roman Catholic Church. He has made a vow to come in a monastery and to never marry. But when the light of God's word has risen in his soul, then he had a right to break that vow. Thus concerning the oaths of God, what a solemn thing it is, congregation. And how is it now with all the oaths, the one more than another? All confessing members, we have made an oath with a confession of faith. Fathers and mothers, first the oaths of marriage, husband and wife, till death do us part. The oaths with baptism, also the oaths of office bearers. Then what do we need? Then we need that great office bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have mentioned the oaths that the Lord has made. Oh, he has already made an oath. He has swore by himself, Psalm 110 verse 4, that Christ would be a priest from the foundation, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, then the Son, then in the Council of Peace, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God. Oh, then it is clear that our oaths, that they shall cost much sacrifice. When we think of the oaths which the Lord has made concerning the salvation of the church, Oh, then the Father, then he has given his only begotten Son, that he would come upon this earth, that he would suffer and die. Oh, then Christ, as the great high priest from everlasting, then he was willing to sacrifice himself. Thus the religious oath, congregation, may we be given to meditate in this night about the oaths which we have made. May we be given to reflect upon it. And maybe we have forgotten many oaths that we have made to come to very particular instances when we have made confession of faith. Let us now think back. And how was it now with our oath? Did we have an impression what we are promising? Still a blessing. Sometime you meet young people that they have trouble with those four questions, difficulties. That is not such a bad place to be, because we can make our oath so easy. With the baptism of our children, were there now times, parents? The baptism of our children, was there now a time or times that it was an oath that we have not forgotten, that we were exercised with what we were to promise? And also, after that oath was made, that we were brought on our knees, marriage, office bears, then we have much to meditate upon. I read of another oath, my unconverted fellow travelers, to that never-ending eternity. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that the Lord has swore by himself that he has no desire in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked may turn and live. May we be given to bring that oath, oh, young and old, bring that oath before the Lord and say, "Ach, Lord, we have now heard in this evening that thou hast swore that thou hast no desire in the death of the wicked. And Lord, I am now such a wicked one, unconverted. But may it now please thee, by thy free and sovereign grace, to convert me, as thou hast converted all thy people." Oh, I read that there has come one, oh, in the hall of Caiaphas, that he has also sworn an oath when it was asked whether he was the Son of God. Thou sayest that, O Christ, he has swore those oaths perfectly, that for the church of God, that there may be pardoning of all their sins, all for the church. In the context, it is in the part of gratitude. And then we read of another oath that the psalmist swore, ah, that is the desire of the church, that is given by the Holy Spirit. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then by renewal, then we could dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. May we be given to meditate also concerning the oaths which the older ones have made. And for our boys and girls, ah, Lord, wilt thou grant by thy grace that vow, that choice, that oath that a Ruth has made, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Lord, we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee that thou may graciously watch over us. O wilt thou care, O wilt thou spare, O wilt thou protect, and wilt thou provide. O wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool above all work, lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit. O wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. O wilt thou remember us wherever we are called to be. O wilt thou remember the mothers with the children during the day and during the night. O wilt thou remember all those that are called to labor in the night watches, also for the caring of the sick and the caring of the elderly. O wilt thou remember on the way, remember at work, remember at school, impress it upon all our hearts that thou seest everything. O wilt thou also remember in this week with the male members meeting, then also for the young men of the Confession of Faith class, then a great privilege, but also a responsibility. O wilt thou gather with us, and may it be for the welfare of thy Zion. O wilt thou not grant traveling mercies, help the farmers with the further harvesting of the crops. O wilt thou also keep from accidents in that respect, and may there be those that may truly receive a humble heart for all that thou hast given and the opportunity for harvest, Lord. Watch over us in this night. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 2. My mouth shall sing for aye thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. I know how firm and sure thy wondrous grace is founded. And what follows, 422, 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.